Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, 9 a.m. I forgot I changed my show from, was it 11 to 9? Now it's 9. Whatever. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good whenever you are listening. Thank you for listening if you're listening. Oh, and my ego and id that's listening. Thank you. Thank you so much. Anyway, welcome to my show. Welcome to the show, Looking for My Give a Fuck, hosted by yours truly, Shirley E. Shepherd. And again, good morning. What episode are we on? Let me see. I can get my cheat notes today because it's 29. Epiphany episode 29. Gosh, can I believe that? I can't believe it. You know, before I go into, I have an itinerary this morning, so that might be funny. But even before I go into that, just looking at the fact that I can say I have done 29 shows. Give or take two or three that I had to reschedule, or I just didn't do that particular Sunday. I have to give myself credit. God damn it. And by the way, anytime you get to give yourself credit, just go, ding, ding, thank you very much, thank you very much. Wait, round of applause. I don't have the sound effects, so I have to do my own. But it does make sense as to why today, unconsciously, that became conscious to talk about that is, again, this show was created out of some fun stuff that I'll recap in a minute. But before that, I was in another show that ended just kind of, I wouldn't say abruptly, but there was a sudden end to it. And it was because the other host he just was taking on too many responsibilities. And that was a tough one for a minute. Like what happened? We had this thing going, you know. And then with my, you know, my brother and my mom and the discussion, this show comes about. Now, why is this important about the show and the episode number, so on and so forth? It's because prior to doing the show, I went back to listening to Kings in the Morning. If you guys know anything about that show, it's the JT Network. In fact, all their shows are pretty good. But I went back to Kings in the Morning because I remember when it became, when it first started, actually. And those guys are hardcore. I was like, oh my God, how could they be talking like that to each other? I'm such a weenie weenie. And then professionally, I had to get some balls. And prior to that, knowing Jay always said a couple things to me, and it was that, oh, you're very, very bright. I always knew that. I was like, dude, hello. Have you met me yet? No. I'm really not as conceited as I sound that much. But anyway, he said, but you get too emotionally caught up and you're not consistent. And I was like, well, fuck you. I'm consistent. I got all these degrees. But what the person means by that is this, especially if you're intelligent. No, if you're one to start something and just get bored with it and then you'll start something else and you just really don't sit and marinate and have something be created. Because you just keep going in and out. You know, it's kind of like the young generation right now, this fluid thing. Fluidity never gets to solitude. I don't know where that came from, but that's just how I feel. But anyway, the bottom line was this. Stick with something. Stick through it. You know, and it's funny because those are the things I taught my son when we started basketball. I didn't care if he had a team with only two people on it and one was me. You know, we would pay for the YMCA. He agreed if I paid $60 or his dad, he would never, ever quit that team no matter what. Now, I'm the one that said, hey, Quan, they're not playing you. Why don't you quit? And he said, Mom, dude, I'm learning the team. And that's because he was a younger kid on a higher, older team. And they were only playing him a little bit because, you know, hey, the older kids are entitled to that. And I was so annoyed. And he said, no, we made a promise. And I'm going to stay here. Plus, I'm learning on the bench. Why is all that important? Well, I didn't realize the importance of consistency. Consistency does not mean you have to change. No. Consistency can sometimes start with a beginning and have an end and then revisit. I love saying that to people now because today's society, you just really kind of don't know what's going to happen, or there's these shifts, and we'll talk about that in a minute. And so therefore, you might have this idea that you want to do something for 2 years, and then all of a sudden the COVID, a second COVID comes through, and you'll have to shift. So it's not that. It is simply, hey, I'm going to try this. On the knowledge, a little bit of knowledge I know about what I'm doing, I need to give it at least a year before I jump out, or 6 months, whatever the case may be. I didn't do that before. So as a result, when my emotions would get caught up into something, or I would be professionally, intimidated by others, I'd be quick to go, fuck that. And I would somehow jump out of it. But I was so good at justifying my jump out that others at some point were like, well, she'll jump out of that and she'll go get another master's degree or something like that. So no one really kind of looked at it as, you know, you're kind of chickening out. You're supposed to be a little punk, except Mr. King. And there's another person I dated who kind of pointed that out too. And those are great, great men, by the way. So when I say to myself, God, episode 29, give or take two or three, that I'm going to stop and say, good job, Shirley. And I want all of you who are listening and looking for structure and looking for what does it mean, you know, I don't give up. I mean, I went to school. That's 4 years in. Yeah, that's true. But you went 4 years in for a degree, right? And you can do that with everything you do. Have an end point or have a purposeful point at the end. So again, round of applause, me. You're like, who is this lady? I know you. I don't know who I am. Every Sunday might be a little different, but the moral of the story is, who are you and what are you and what are you going to do with that and where does that come from? Oh, that brings us back to what the show is about. Let me give you 5 minutes about, or two or three or one, about what this show is about. And again, it goes into the preface prior to that when I was talking about my lack of stability, my lack of consistency. It's so strange. All these things are so important. And we tend to kind of put them aside. I want to make sure that I just say them loud and clear as often as I can every single day and hope that even if I'm not here, people will understand the tools of life are really simple, but sticking with them, it's character. Anyway, looking for my give a fuck is all about that. Again, I'll go into my mother and my brother were, my mother and my brother were downstairs talking. My brother visits my mom every Friday for 4 to 5 hours. That's their time. It happens to be I was here. And, you know, let's just go back for 1 second. Parents who have more than one child, I have just one. Your children have different needs. And, you know, and they're different individuals. And it took my mom some time to explain to us that each child gets a different amount of her time. Because I remember when my brother would come, I'm like, dude, I'm here. Why can't I have conversation with you guys? And it wasn't that I couldn't have a conversation, but there was this bond between my mom and my brother during that time. So if you have kids, you know, it doesn't matter, step friends, whatever, do the best that you can to give them that special time. And so needless to say, this was one of those days, and I happened to go downstairs, you know, at the mercy of hoping they were going to allow me in because she does cook sometime or order food. I'd be kind of going to bake. No, but this particular time they were talking about, I'm sure it was political. I know it was political because that's where we kind of differ now in that I am now conservative. And I'm telling you, you want to find out what you're made of. Most people are so pissed off that their parents are this and that or their families this and that. But I've learned what I am made of by listening to my mom and my brother debate and my family in general, probably the smartest people in the world. I think they taught Einstein. I think Einstein looked their name up to figure out how to figure shit out. I mean, my family is just incredibly, not only beautiful, but intelligent. I just walk around with a whole bunch of balls and I just do things. And then I rely on my friend, like J. King, to keep me like focused. But, you know, I'm not the smartest tool in this family shed, and I'm okay with that. Just being in the shed is an honor. However, they're talking, they're vibing. I believe that most of the conversations back in the past couple of years has been Donald Trump is a piece of crap, and everything the Democrats do is worthy of saving the black folks. I completely disagree with that. However, I think I said something. I know I said something. Those two went in on me. And you have to understand, I'm afraid to what's that thing called? I'm afraid to negotiate or not, you know, to debate sometimes when I don't have all my facts. Because the reason I went conservative, it wasn't a factual 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It was just, I don't like how this looks. It doesn't feel right. So I'm going to try something else here. And when you say that to a liberal in this family, you better justify why. What has the Republicans done for you? What are those white people? And I'm just like, no. It's not that. It's concept. It's concept. Well, anyway, it wasn't going very well on this particular Friday. And I'm looking under the table because I really did want to, honestly, guys, really slither under the table, through the dining room, to the near front door, up this 13th step, and slither into the middle room, which she has allowed me to stay in, and slither probably out this window, back to the backyard, down the hill, and somewhere to Hanson Dam. I just wanted to slither, just wanted to get away. My brother's like, what are you doing? I said, looking for my give up. Boom. We laughed, and we started having conversations from that point. He also, the next couple of days, this is what this show, the theme is from, he told me, you know, you need to read this book. And I'm like, dude, you're killing him softly. What do you know about books, right? I didn't know my brother was spiritual. He's just smart, just my big brother. How dare he continually, I think he's like a few years older than me, but continually teach me, right? So he came over and he gave me the book, Eckhart Tolle, A New Earth Awakening of Your Life's Purpose. I got it on tape. My mom read it, we read it, and we just had an incredible awakening, an awakening to, if you know anything about this particular book, it's about triggers. It's about why do you have this instant reaction to something? Negative, positive. I always use, like when I'm in traffic, I have this instant, everyone outside of my door, you know, that I'm sitting in traffic, they're the problem. Well, traffic is traffic. The problem was my reaction to that. And I started to get into that, especially listening to this book when I was in traffic. And sometimes the bottom line is going, wait, where did that come from? Wait, ooh, wow. Well, this book says, hey, take a minute. Where did it come from? Wait, your family? Of course it came from your family. Your surroundings, your this and that. Oh, wow. That's not a good thing, right? Or is that something you might want to shift at because it hasn't worked well for you? I'm going to go back to something. Sometimes we look at how we act and react to things and we say, you know, I'm going to change that, or this is the most horrible thing in the world. I want everyone to revisit that. And I don't know, someone may have said it in a way that I can't give them credit because I don't remember who exactly said it, but they said, is that working for you? Well, we were placed on this earth no matter what, how we got here, birthing canal, I'm assuming. You're probably somewhere that we're hatched. I'm just joking, but probably not joking it in your future. But, you know, so a lot of who we are is who we are. But our reactions to things sometimes may come from what? Family, our environment, cultural, all these other good things. So when you get up, you know, after that terrible two, remember the terrible two, the kids are always fighting not to be a part of what we want them to be, and then we whoop them into submission, or we deprive them into submission, right? So then you get out and you start your own type of adventure into life, and you find that you carry most of what you lived with into the future of your life, right? And then as you get older, you know, when you're younger, everything's just fun, and this is cool, and shit, I don't care that I act like that, whatever. And then as you get older, depending on how it works, you mature into change, right? And so people get, you know, if you're lucky enough to live as long as I've lived and longer, you begin to go, wait, where did she come from? I'm looking a lot like my grandma, my mama, my daddy, right? And we're like, I'll never want to be like my mother. I never want to be like my father. And then we claim we turn right into that. So basically what it did is this book, and the trigger about the book is like, look into it. Don't get heavy all up in that shit. Just, dang, I do a lot. Why do I do that? Why do I drink lemon water? It's funny because my mom had told me a lot of times, Grandma Shirley, when she didn't have coffee, she would drink hot water. And I just threw it in there, like, I'm sure Grandma put some lemon into that too, right? But, you know, I mean, I used to do it because of getting rid of the mucus. But now, I'm not completely the healthiest person in the world. So that wasn't something that fell into my repertoire of healthiness, you know, lemon water. But it was Grandma's, right? So what happens is when you figure out these triggers, or in fact, when I was listening to this book, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know what? My consistency's all fucked up. And that's probably one of the reasons I started listening to the J. King show. I mean, the direct reason. My consistency is all over the place, my inconsistency. And the other thing about this is that you don't have to change once you become aware. But we don't separate ourselves from I don't believe. We should separate ourselves from completely who we are to be what we think we need to be when we're still trying to figure out who we are not. I mean, it's just, it's all messy. It's like, what the hell? I have this duty to figure me out when my parents and my grandparents and parents before that didn't have it. We were just living. So you learn by way of living, and you figure out these triggers, or you figure out these things, and you decide, hey, is this something that is not doing well for me? Is that a better conversation with yourself instead of, I won't be like this or that? It's just, is that working? Because you'll believe it or not, we have more things inside of us that are working for us if you're still alive than or not, right? So when you come up with things that are not working, just get to visit with it. You don't have to go and do an analytical thing like, I'm going to go talk to my mom and my daddy about why they did this to me, because they don't know. Today in your, how's that? My friend had a boyfriend, so I know. He told her when they first started dating, he said, I'm just ignorant. And years later, she said, you're ignorant. He said, when a man tells you he's ignorant, he's ignorant. And what I'm saying is, he knew his fault. We still laugh about that today. She said, if a man ever says he's ignorant, he's ignorant. But, you know, we're laughing about that. But he knew his weaknesses and his strengths. And he's like, well, you think you're going to change me? That's a joke. And it's kind of funny. But more importantly, when you find out there's some things about you that are not good for you or good for society, such as you're taking it out on others, that's when you can go and be proactive in your counseling and your psychiatry treatment and so on and so forth. It's kind of like those are when those doctors are the best, because they can tell you forever and listen to you tell the story about your family and so on and so forth, and they make a lot of money out of that because families are a piece of heaven, right? But when you go and say, you know what, there's something about why I react like this, it gives them the tools that they use to dig in. They just throw a little bit at you and go, come bring that out a little bit. Bring that out a little bit. How's that helping you? But usually psychologists, or just counselors just don't get that chance because we go to them to, please save me. They're trying to save themselves. Did you guys know that, by the way? Anyway, so I know that was a fun synopsis to go half the show, but really I just want everyone to kind of remember that, you know. When we have these triggers, just look at them. Start to change yourself. I mean, you can just shift. I mean, every day I wake up with a shift. I'm like, oh, shit, where did that come from? Let me shift. Anyway, I want to say something really quick. I have 10 minutes, and there's a couple of things I want to say. Oh, since we're talking about triggers and things that we have done in our lives and we don't know where they come from, I can give you guys a perfect example about me. I'm not good with saying goodbye. I'm not good for people leaving me because there was abandonment or rejection or whatever the fuck that is that killed most of us based on bullshit, because we're trying to control how others do or how we perceive how we've been done, which is really dumb. So about a month and a half ago, I took on this project, and I thought it was going to be a longer project. I really did. I thought it was going to be like 2-3 months longer. It turned out to only be 6 weeks. And so therefore, it was like, boom, over. And, you know, it's a professional, you know, heck of a situation. And I'm just like, how do I deal with that? So when they told me my last day would be Friday, you should have seen me trying to figure out my last day to not be Friday, be a day up, because I'm a one up on these motherfuckers. They ain't going to see me be looking kind of disappointed anyway. No, it didn't work out like that, because I used that trick. I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I running from this? You have to learn to say goodbye. Even in relationships, I can never let go. Even I knew it didn't work, because that, to me, was rejection. That's that ego. That's that thing that might be listening to my show. But no, I mean, I could never let go. I'm like, well, what do you mean? I mean, I had to let go. I had to have the definition that I thought would work for me to give to the person that was saying goodbye or rejecting me. No, you need to reject me this way so it fits better with my person, with my personal acceptance of goodbye, right? Oh, that's just so ridiculously true. But this time, I was in the moment. I was in the moment. It was a great position. It was a great position, not because it was a great position, but I was in a great position just to be there without expectations, without hiding who I want to be, not want to be, without being jealous of others. It can be. Let me tell you, when you get older and you're looking at these young kids kicking ass and you're going, "Ooh, I can't compete." So I didn't want to compete. I just was me. And I was gorgeous and very, very smart. But anyway, saying goodbye became an amazing process. It was telling them, hey, I'm here for you guys. I see your greatness, and let's, if you ever need anything, let's work together. That's who I am. I think I'll be 90 years old and they all find still the knowledge I have is always going to be timeless. So think about that when you have to say goodbye. Sometimes it hurts. And sometimes things that I thought was going to be a particular length of time did not work out that way, right? And so professionally, you get down for about 22 seconds. Or you don't get down. You just, what I did, I got back up on the horn and I have something in the pocket for tomorrow, which is also great because saying goodbye and starting new things and ending new things have been very difficult for me, most of us. You know, tomorrow morning, I'll walk into this moving litigation trial firm. They ain't trying to be like putting me in a room for 8 hours, like study this. No, it's like work the claim, get the expert, we rock, let's go. We got 2 days for trial. That can be scary. But not if you just take your whole self in. One of the fears of when I would go into a new position for whatever it was I'm going to do something wrong. Yeah, guess what? Everyone's going to do something wrong. And take that away. If you possibly can. Again, this is my first time having to, again, I really thought this was going to be a little longer, and then we had a prospect for me to go to another firm, and this was just it, and it didn't work out like that because there's things I need to learn that I haven't dealt with, such as change and saying goodbye. Anyway, not only did I say goodbye to the group of people I was working for at this particular firm, if you live long enough and if you open your doors to complete circles, after the karma and everything, you get through that. The firm that was next door to the firm I was working at happened to be the first firm that I worked at. And I didn't work for that particular attorney. I worked for an attorney who was within his office. And that attorney, his name was Thomas Cohen. That was the first attorney I worked for. And I remember right after paralegal school, he gives me a job. He hands me a file and says, work the file. I remember coming back 15 seconds later and said, I don't know how to do this. This is much different than what I learned in school. And he said, give me a year. I teach you how to work the file. I think I may have said this on the show, but it's a great thing. We don't do that anymore. And that's why I do it. I really help people. A year, a day later, he looks at me, I look at him, and I'm here today. So this firm and the people who I know, there's a few people who are still with Mr. Lester. That's the firm that Tommy Cohen worked in. I ran into, her name is Terry, right before I was going to leave. Full circle. And full circle happens when you get that karma and everything on your way. I mean, I've had some situations, right? Full circle. And I remember when I left Mr. Cohen, even though we were separated from Richard Lester's office, we had a mutual friend, Terry, and I had a mutual friend who worked with Mr. Lester, so I was always back and forth. But even saying goodbye to them was that very difficult. But this time it was, goodbye, see you soon, let's have drinks, let's do this. It was just amazing, full circle. Our lives have full circle. We're not busy tripping off, you know, how we got there, or what, you know, if we're not focused on some of the negative things, I know it's hard to say. So how about this? When there's things that you're afraid of, and they're going to come. I mean, I having to say goodbye after I just really met these people and bonded, and it was a great firm, great energy, and I had to say goodbye. Good job. So again, if it's something that's very difficult, if I was going to my psychiatrist at the time for that issue, I would be like, oh, I'm afraid to say goodbye. And she'd have been able to give me tools. But this time I was able to do that. So that's what this show is about. That's what this book is about. It's about just figuring out, man, I can't get past this feeling. I can't get past acting like this. And then taking that and getting help for it. Because if we all continue going to a psychiatrist to fix us, then, you know, when are they going to have time to fix themselves, to fix us? You guys know that psychiatrists do, and psychologists and counselors, they do have to detox. I don't know where they're doing it these days. Okay, I don't know how I got there, but anyway, saying goodbye was a trigger that I worked on. So these things I'm talking about work. Please try them. Let's talk about the Super Bowl. Ooh, why am I talking about the Super Bowl? Well, I don't know. I just woke up this morning, I'm like, oh, why am I talking about the Super Bowl? And then I started, everyone's talking about, we have such a great, great game. We have two black quarterbacks. We have a coach that was with, I think I'm getting this right, with Philadelphia, who's now with Kansas City. And he saw the people a few days before today's game. He saw his old, coaches or whatever from when he was with the Philadelphia Eagles, is that what they're called? Anyway, and he said something, the coach, I guess the coach now for the Kansas City Chiefs, I don't know their name, I just kind of did this really fast. He said something like, I said goodbye and let's play the game, right? I thought, wow. And then, like I said, we have these two amazing black quarterbacks. You guys know the names. I don't necessarily know the names, but I did see online they were talking about their fathers being their inspiration. Oh, my God. Isn't that what we're looking for when we're talking about family culture, black fathers, so on and so forth? So we have that. We have two quarterbacks with these great fathers who were coaches and whatever, and one's half black and white, the other one's just black. It doesn't matter. Two black quarterbacks against each other. Like, it's supposed to, it should be like that. There's been a million quarterbacks, right? And I'm like, I'm going to let them have that, right? Then we have the two brothers. Now, I don't know how the parents dealt with that, but I did hear the parents about the two brothers on different teams who were playing against each other, and they asked him, how did you do this? And he said he put the kids in hockey. I don't know what that means sport-wise, but it has something to do with making them greener, hardcore. I don't know what the case is, but you have two brothers now. I can imagine that mother just going, fuck it, just let me know when the game's over because I'm going to have to give somebody a better, bigger hug than the other, right? So we have two black quarterbacks. We're pitting two black people against each other in a sense for the game, right? Two brothers pitting them against each other for what? The game, right? A coach who said, fuck you, Eagles. Y'all were nothing to me. I'm now in Kansas City. Fuck you. So we got anger for the game. And then we have Rihanna, who everyone believes Beyonce may hate or not hate or whatever the case may be. But we have now Rihanna doing halftime. That's going to compare to what? Yay, another black great person, Beyonce. And this is all being done where? Arizona. You're like, why am I doing that? I'm doing that because Arizona, they say here, is the indigenous place for folks, whatever. But also it has energy, spiritual energy that's off the chain. So, the only thing I'm worried about when it comes to the Super Bowl are the commercials, because the M&M situation, if they turn into chocolate dip oysters, I'm in trouble. No. What I'm saying is this. Everyone's looking at this Super Bowl to be this great Super Bowl, but I also see it a great divide. And I see it not only as a game of sport of great sportsmanship, but also you have egos. You have coach who is like, I got something to prove. You have two brothers like, dude, I love you, but I know your weaknesses because we used to sleep in the same bedroom. You have two black quarterbacks that should not have to team up for the first time in 2023. Or have you noticed they really didn't talk about the strength of the fathers until recently. And you have this all being done where? In one of the heaviest spiritual states in the world, Arizona. Arizona State, yeah. See the brain. So now it is. Phoenix, Arizona, right? There you go. But anyway, all that's happening at once. So I wouldn't be surprised if the UFOs are now saying, hey, it's time. You know what? I have like 1 second. Let me see if I can put this. Hold on 1 second. Hi, welcome to the show. I have like 1 minute. Can you hear me?
Good morning.
Hi, sweetie. I have 1 minute, 36 seconds. You go ahead and take it.
I was just listening, but just wanted to say good morning, and I hope that Philly loses today.
Oh, you know what? I don't even know what's playing, but stay on the air while I conclude. We have the Super Bowl that's just going to be a matchup. It's going to be a great, great, great game, I'm assuming. But at the end of the day, you have separatism. You have two black quarterbacks that are going to be judged, right? You have two brothers. You have a coach who said, fuck you, who's now, there's a lot of separation in there. So what I say about the Super Bowl is, let's keep it as a Super Bowl. And then once these things happen and there's a separation, there's a win or a lose, let's bring in that spiritual thing and keep it together, especially the stories about the brothers and the black quarterbacks, because at the end of the day, they're more than just a motherfucking, excuse me, game. They're family. And the two quarterbacks, their fathers that raised these two quarterbacks, that needs to be a story, not just a Super Bowl. Okay, I got 32 seconds. I'm looking forward to Mary. Are you doing your show this afternoon?
Yes.
Okay, Mary has a show on JT Network, Blog Talk Radio, called Mary Had a Little Cancer. It's a great show. Mary has been going through a lot of different things. I can't wait to see what she's going to talk about today. Until then, I am signing out. telling everyone to continue to make great, great memories. Have a great Super Bowl Sunday. And remember, there is a divide to bring together after the show. Until then, hey, have a good week. Talk to you later. Bye. Hold on.